Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. John Church and Christian Preschool. So obviously, I'm not Pastor Russ. He is gone today at Synod Assembly. But today, the deacons are leading the service, so you'll see all of us up here at some point helping out. It is Trinity, Holy Trinity Sunday, and also Father's Day. And so in honor of Father's Day, I did want to share a couple dad jokes. What do you call cheese that's not yours? Nacho cheese? And why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself? It was too tired. So stand up, greet one another, and tell your favorite dad joke. Okay, we'll start with the gathering hymn. This is My Father's World, page 824. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We'll continue with the hymn of praise, Spirit of the Living God, printed in the bulletin.
The prayer of the day, please bow. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal, three in one, and praise your power. Majestic, one in three, keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us to at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town. At the entrance of the portal she cries out, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Here ends the lesson.
I'd like to invite the children down for the children's sermon. Well, good morning. Think of what it is. Oh, what's that mean? You don't know? What do you think you should do on Father's Day? What makes today different than any other day? He's still your father every other day, right? What kind of special things do you do with your dads?
I go fishing with them, and I go to my people.
Good. Ellie? Oh, Addie. Oh, good. Is that how your dad shows you love? When he does special things for you? What do you do to show your love for your dad? Sometimes you have to do things that you don't like to do. Chores. You know what? That's what's special about dads. Sometimes they have to do things they don't like to do either. And that's what they do for you. They have wisdom and knowledge to see what's ahead for you. And they have your best interest in mind, just like the Holy Father. Can think ahead for you and do things for you. God the Father sent his Son to die for us, and I bet that wasn't very much fun for him. But he did that because he thought of us. Fathers have wisdom to guide you, just like God. And in the Ten Commandments, it says, in the fourth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. What do you think it means to honor your parents? Love them. How else can you show that?
You can show them that
and obey them and do what they ask you to. And sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to. And sometimes you have to do things when nobody else is watching. And you think, gosh, I want to do what my friends are doing. That looks like so much fun. But you know that maybe that isn't what your parents would want for you. So you honor your father by doing the right thing, even when no one else is watching. And sometimes it doesn't feel so good. But it may feel a little bit sour, but in the end, you can have a lot of pride knowing that you did the right thing and honored your father, just like he does the right things for you. One last thing before I finish. I have a question for you. Do you have any nicknames for your dad?
D.
Yes.
D.
D.
Pumper.
Okay. Well, this is kind of an old nickname, but there is a Dr. Seuss book, and it's called Hop on... Pop. Have you heard that? That book? Hop on Pop. Okay, that's for some people, that's a nickname for their dad. So what I have for you today is a bag of popcorn to help you think of your pops. And then inside is a child, is a kid that's a little sour but sweet on the inside. And maybe that'll remind you of a sermon that Pastor had not long ago, right? Did you get a Sour Patch Kid from him? Yes. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray, and you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for our fathers. Thank you for their wisdom to know what lies ahead and to always have our best interests at heart. Thank you for your love for us. Amen.
Thank you.
please stand for the Alleluia? Gospel today is found in John chapter 16 verses 12 through 15. Excuse me. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine, excuse me, and declare it to you." Here ends the gospel for this Holy Trinity Sunday.
Good morning. St. John has always been an important part of my life. I've made so many lifelong friends here over the years. I was baptized and confirmed here. And in 1970, I married my junior high sweetheart right here at this altar. We have four children whom were baptized and confirmed here, and nine grandchildren, all baptized at St. John. I remember learning about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I should say. Back then, that's what we called it, in confirmation. Just the ghost part of it made it scary. But of course, I was scared about just anything. I was scared of ghosts, heights, snakes, storms, the dark. You name it, I was scared of it. My sister, Karen, always called me scaredy cat, and sometimes she still does. But more than anything, I was scared of speaking in front of a group of people. So for me to be standing here today giving the message is definitely an act of the Holy Spirit, which is perfect for today's gospel. I've heard it said that if you try to explain the Trinity, you will lose your mind. But let's give it a try anyway. Like this three-leaf clover, each individual leaf is part of the whole plant, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equally part of God. There is no jealousy among the three members of the Trinity, so you can pray to any and all of them. And they all communicate with each other because they are all God. Today is Father's Day, so let me try this. A man can be a father, a son, and a husband, yet he's still one man. Does this make any sense? In John 16, 12, Jesus was explaining to the disciples that he had much more to say, but it might be more than they could bear. Remember, the disciples had just found out that their teacher, whom they loved very much, was going away and that the Spirit of truth would come to guide them. So Jesus is speaking to very sad, fearful disciples. I think Jesus was trying to say how difficult it is to understand who the Holy Spirit is. This morning, I would like to share with you some times in my life when I felt the Holy Spirit lead my family and me through some challenging times. I grew up on a farm west of Cowell in a very happy home environment with my sister and two brothers. My dad farmed and also worked other jobs to make ends meet. And we had a wonderful stay-at-home mom who was a beautiful seamstress, could decorate our house on a dime, showed us every aspect of gardening and housework, and taught us that doing chores was not an option. Nearly every day, my dad would come home from work. He would pick my mom up, give her a kiss, twirl her around in the kitchen. When our family went in the car, my dad would teach us songs like You Are My Sunshine or Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes. Our dad planned camping trips to nearly every state west of the Mississippi. We had Sunday dinners with our grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-aunts, and we all played 500 with them after we ate. Mom and Dad were all about family. So in the mid-1970s, our whole family was heartbroken and in shock when our dad divorced our mom after 27 years of marriage. This is their 25th anniversary picture. Our mom was devastated, and even though Karen and I both were married and had children of our own, we were extremely angry at our dad. Our two brothers were single and lived at home, and the younger brother rebelled and moved out, and the older brother ended up in the hospital after having a nervous breakdown. Karen and I tried to talk Dad out of leaving. We told him that he was giving up his entire family and it would change everyone's life forever. But he said he had already made up his mind. I never wanted to talk to my dad again. And I didn't for 2 years. That's when I realized how relentless the Holy Spirit could be. God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and reminded me that my dad had always been a good dad and grandfather. He explained that Satan is always just around the corner, waiting to sneak into people's heads and hearts whenever they let their guard down. So finally, after 2 years, the Holy Spirit convinced me to forgive my dad. My mom is a wonderful Christian, and she encouraged all of us kids to establish a relationship with our dad again. And before Dad died, he reassured me that he was at peace with God. The Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts and our minds to guide us to do what is right. That's his job. In 1985, our family experienced firsthand the goodness and kindness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to people and through people when our home and everything in it was destroyed by fire. We had four children, ages 2, 6, 11, and 14. Our son said that everyone was supposed to put a new battery in their smoke detectors every New Year's Day and ask if I would pick up 2 9-volt batteries. We only had 2 detectors. One was at the top of the basement steps, which had the battery removed because of false alarms from the furnace, and the other one was at the top of the stairs going to the bedrooms where the kids slept. So I bought 2 batteries, and our son put them in. 2 weeks later, Dave came home from work about 7:30 a.m., had breakfast with the kids and me, and went to bed. The 2 older boys went off to school, and the younger kids and I headed to the Y. About an hour after he laid down, Dave put a pillow over his head to muffle what he thought was the telephone ringing nonstop. When he finally realized it was the smoke alarm, he opened the bedroom door to find the house filled with smoke. He ran upstairs, checked all the beds and the closets because he had no idea what time of the day it was, or he didn't know if we were home or not. Then he ran back downstairs and called 911. However, the fire burned through the phone lines right after he said his name and that we had a fire and he didn't get a chance to give our address. This was before E91 and cell phones. At the end of the day, our home was completely gone. And yet, before we went to bed that night, our kids all had pajamas and clothes to wear to school the next day. Thanks to the St. John clothes closet, our fellow parishioners, our families, and all of Charles City who rallied around us with clothes, quilts, kitchen items, beds, other furniture, you name it. The Holy Spirit gave me the words to comfort our children. He reminded me of how blessed we were. One, that the electrical fire smoldered for 8 hours in the basement all night while I slept downstairs and the 4 kids slept upstairs, and yet did not break out until the kids and I were out of the house. Two, the fireman who took the call just happened to know where we lived, even though Dave didn't have a chance to say our address. That our 14-year-old son had replaced the batteries in the smoke alarm that ultimately woke Dave up from his sleep. And four, after watching the firefighters work all day in 15-degree below weather, Dave became a volunteer fire, which later led to a career. None of this would have happened if not for a house fire. 3 years after our fire, the property next to ours was put on the Superfund toxic dump site list, full of cancer-causing substances. God works in ways that we can't always understand, yet many times it is made clear to us later through the Holy Spirit. Being a child of God does not mean that you won't go through difficult times in your life, but God will comfort us during the hard times, sometimes through a deep sense deep inside that He loves us and He's with us, and sometimes through people He sends to comfort us. The Holy Spirit has continuously sent my sister Karen to encourage, support, and comfort me. We are best friends, and people often say, "You must be sisters." But we aren't even Catholic. My next story is not a difficult time in my life, but definitely time when the Holy Spirit was present. When our daughter was 14, she was anxiously preparing to go to the South Dakota trip when we heard they were still looking for a female chaperone. Brandy did not want to go without one. So I left a message with the youth director that night, the night before they were to leave. She called me late that evening when she got the message and explained that there would be no female chaperone. Unless, of course, I wanted to go with the group. Now, I have anxiety issues, big time, in a very small comfort zone. Plus, I had customers booked in my salon for the whole next week, so I didn't see how that was going to work at all. But I said I would pray about it and get back to her. We had company, so I excused myself, went to my room, got on my knees, and within a minute or two, it was clear to me that I was to go on that trip. I was up half the night doing laundry, packing, and writing down customer phone numbers so my husband could call and explain to everybody that I couldn't do their hair next week. At noon the next day, we were heading for South Dakota on a very uncomfortable old school bus with no air conditioning. And guess what? I wasn't anxious. I was calm, and I was at peace. We slept on hard church floors in close proximity, so we got to know each other very well. We had so many great discussions while riding on the bus and during Bible time each morning and evening. These kids would ask biblical questions that I wasn't sure I even knew how to answer. But if Pastor Neuswag wasn't there, I did the best I could. Sometimes I didn't even know that I knew the answer, but later I would read it in the Bible. Yes, I believe the Holy Spirit can give you all kinds of answers to help teach God's word. But don't let a group of teenagers know that you're deathly afraid of some snakes, especially if you're going to reptile gardens. And always check your bed before crawling in. After being so inspired by the kids on the South Dakota trip, I became an 8th grade Sunday school teacher. Before that, I would only teach young children, afraid that I wouldn't know enough to teach older kids. But again, the Holy Spirit gave me the knowledge and the words to say. Next, I have an example of a miracle that still gives me chills. My husband, Dave, was recovering from surgery after his first bout with cancer. I thought it might perk him up a little if he got out of the house and rode with me on my route. While on Highway 63, a Jeep pulled out to pass a semi just as I was meeting them. Before I could even think, the Jeep took the shoulder, fishtailing all the way, while I drove between the semi and the Jeep. I think we were both still holding our breath when Dave finally said, "Does this happen often?" I said, "I don't know. I know I did not make the decision to drive between a semi and a Jeep. So it had to be the Holy Spirit holding that steering wheel." In 2010, Dave and our youngest son were laying sewer lines from the house we were building to the city sewer. Dave asked our son to trim up all the little branches on several trees while he finished up the sewer line. Ryan cut one branch and said something made him turn off that chainsaw. He heard a weak voice say, "Help," and ran over the mound of dirt to find Dave buried to his chin. He called 911 and tried to use a spade to dig the dirt away from his dad, but it was too compacted. So he got on his knees and dug it away with his hands until he could see him breathe. Dave was flown to Mayo, where they did emergency surgery, repairing his ruptured bladder and broken pelvis. The next day, he was in surgery again, where they repaired his shattered femur with a titanium rod from his hip to his knee. And again, the Holy Spirit was there. Our son happened to be helping his dad that day. I believe the Holy Spirit told Ryan to turn off that chainsaw after just one cut. And who can hear a faint voice after just turning off a chainsaw? And the doctor said Dave may never walk again. And look at him today. One miracle after another. The Holy Spirit has another job. He intercedes with our faith when our faith is challenged. Several years ago, I had a customer who bragged that she was an atheist. Yet every time I saw her, she would pick my brain about the Bible. One day, she asked why I believed that Jesus wasn't a sinner. After all, she said, he hung out with Mary Magdalene. I firmly explained to her that Jesus spent a lot of time with sinners, and yet he never sinned himself. She asked again why I believe that. I said, because the Bible says so. She went on to say that she had read the Bible, and it didn't make any sense to her. I quickly responded to her, no one can understand the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's called faith, and faith comes from the Holy Spirit. When I was younger, I would have never talked about God or defended my faith like that. Yet when confronted, the Holy Spirit again gave me the words to say. My mom has been in the memory unit at Chautauqua for over 4 years. Alzheimer's is a horrible disease. Mom has not known Karen or me, nor has she spoken our names for a very long time. One day last summer, I told her I was going home. I gave her a kiss goodbye, and I said, I love you, Mom. As I turned and started to walk away, she said very clearly, Joyce? I flipped around, sat back down, and said, yes, Mom? And nothing. So I gave her another kiss and said goodbye and didn't get more than 10 feet away. And she said again, very clearly, Joyce. With tears running down my face, I ran back, sat down, held her hand and said, yes, Mom, it's Joyce. She just kept looking at me, but didn't say another word. And she hasn't spoken my name since. However, last Sunday, after I had this sermon almost complete, Karen, Dave, and I went to visit Mom. She didn't respond to us at all that day. So I got right in front of her face, and I said, I love you, Mom. She looked me in the eye. Sometimes we can't even get her to look us in the eye. She looked me in the eye, smiled, and said very slowly, I love you. You too. We could hardly believe our ears. I feel that God could see how discouraged we were getting, and the Holy Spirit gave Mom the strength to smile and the words to say. It was an awesome day. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe why people go through such difficult times. I just don't understand. I know that many of you have gone through times in your life that are much worse than what I've experienced. And I know that there are lessons to be learned in each difficult situation, that there are character qualities to be developed. I get it that we should learn and grow from them. But I'm thinking that we may not get answers to some of our questions until we are seated at the heavenly banquet. I'm just afraid that I might show up with this long list of questions when I get to heaven. Of course, unless the Holy Spirit makes it clear to me before then. Thank you. The song of the day is a special request from one of our parishioners, and since it is a little longer than some, please stay seated while we sing I Am.
Pencil marks on a wall, was it always this tall? You scattered some monsters from beneath my bed. You washed my tea wheel. You washed my tea wheels. You washed when my bicycle went down again. And when I was weak, unable to speak, still I could call you. And I said, elbow healer, superhero, come if you can. And you said, I am. Only 16, life is so mean. What kind of curfew is a 10 p.m. You saw my mistakes. You watched my heart break. Heard when I swore I'd never love again. When I was weak, unable to speak, still I could call you. It might seem when it's 2 a.m. And when I am weak, unable to speak, still I will call you by name. Dance
Please stand and let us proclaim what we believe together in the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will judge the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord, you have given to each of us the gift of a father today. We honor him and we thank you for the wonderful things that are ours because of him. His love for us has been a sign of your divine affection and for sharing in the holy love. His concern for our needs and our welfare is a mirror of your care. Bless our fathers this day with your strength, that they may continue to be a sign of your love in our families. Bless them in this lifetime with joy and laughter, with pride in their children and peace in their hearts. Bless, too, those fathers who have gone out of this life. They gave us life. May they now enjoy the fullness of life in the embrace of your dear God of love and peace. Fathers, may you on this special day be blessed by God and by our love for you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray that you watch over Pastor Russ and the rest of the ELCA pastors and synod members as they gather this weekend for the synod meetings and prepare to journey home. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the sick, that they are comforted, for the despairing, that they receive hope, for infants and children, that they be granted nurturing caretakers, and for all who cry out to God in need. Lord, in your mercy. God, today we send up special prayers for Dan Carey, Bob Deit, B.J. Gifford, Sandra Link, and Carol Tyler. We pray that you protect and watch over the men and women serving in the armed forces. We pray especially for Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. We pray for those others that are in our hearts as we silently bring them to you now. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Luke 6, verse 38. It's now offering time. Please open your hymnals to Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty on page 413.
Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The announcements for today, I want to thank all of you for standing by, all of us deacons, and follow our word of Simon Says today. Today's flowers are on the altar from Algie and Kay Slindy in honor of their 48th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. And today's radio broadcast is from Mary Jean Zelm in memory of her parents, Forrest and Dorothy Chambers, husband Merlin Zelm, and granddaughter Bailey Zelm. Next Sunday, after each service in St. John's, we'll honor the custodian John Swigum with a pie in the face, or pie a la mode, retirement reception in the parish hall. John will be retiring on June 30th. Also, on June 30th at 10 a.m., we'll be having a praise in the park, so bring your lawn chairs. There will be an 8 o'clock service here at the church that day also. There will be worship and then food and activities from 11 to 1 that day in the park. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Our sending song is Great Almighty. Share the good news.
Thank you. If they go to do they not? Why then? This page is too hard. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I am reading the gospel.
Good morning, world.
When I wanted to gather them, there are no grapes on the vine.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hey!
Testing 1, 2, 3.